This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
They thought they'd get away with it until now. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
Richard Allen, the man that's been now convicted of killing those two little girls in Delphi, Indiana, has been sentenced to 40 to 120 years, essentially a life sentence in a case that was riddled with issues and lots of questions about the legitimacy of the evidence that was brought forward by the prosecution. Joining me to discuss, someone who's been covering this case from the very beginning. You've seen her on TV and followed her on Twitter, and one of the most opinionated about it, Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent. And I say that with love. I really do. So here we go. We got the sentence. I know we all kind of saw it coming, especially you. What's your reaction here on this, and where do you think this goes in 2025?
Yes, well, you know, as I said a week or so ago, you know, let me just break the suspense that that's what he was going to get. I mean, essentially a life sentence. And you know, this was a horrible, horrible murder of these two girls. Certainly, he's been convicted of it, and I have to respect the finding of the jury. This is one that will just never quite sit right with me. There were so many issues, but it's, you know, they've asked for an appellate attorney to be appointed. It's not going to be a paid attorney or retained attorney, but some of the best appellate attorneys are appointed. So hopefully he gets a good one.
Obviously, there's so many issues here in this case that we looked at in terms of the evidence he was convicted on. And yes, I get, you know, respect the process, but we all know this one had so many issues with it. It's hard to respect the process when people are abusing the process on the other side.
You know, I think I listed them all out one time. It's just mind-boggling. I mean, from all the recordings of people being erased, you know, their interview recordings in this case, which is just head shaking in and of itself, to the debacle at the crime scene, to crime scene evidence, DNA type evidence not being analyzed, to the ballistics piece that, you know, for me just wasn't strong enough. It's not that this analyst isn't amazing, because I think she is, and she knew what she was doing, and it you know, it's just not fingerprint evidence. It's not DNA evidence, and it was an ejected cartridge. Mm-hmm. It was not a fired cartridge, which is much more difficult to make the match. To the issues just with Richard Allen himself, in terms of having no criminal history, having absolutely no pornography, no child, you know, bondage, nothing on any of his devices. They had many of his devices. They said they didn't have the one from 2016. But as I said, this is easily traceable. Did he turn it in? You know, where was it? There are so many problems. We could sit here and talk about it for an hour. So I don't want to do that. Yeah. I have to respect the jury.
Yeah. I mean, it's just lack of evidence, the confessions under duress, inconsistent witness statements, alternative suspects, weak physical evidence, questionable investigation tactics, potential evidence tampering, poorly defined motive, flawed prosecution theory, lack of transparency, timeline problems, and questionable witness tampering. We don't have to talk about them, though. We've talked about them all year.
We've talked about them all year, Tony. I'm glad you took copious notes because, those are the same notes I have.
Yeah, there's so much. So we go into 25, and yes, there's going to be an appeal. Where do you think that's going to go? Where does your gut tell you? And you know, you're good on timeline. I think you've been one of the most accurate on predicting where things go. What do you see here for 2025 and beyond? And what do you think is going to happen with those appeals?
I think it'll this will be a very, very long appeal process. I think there are several appealable issues. You know, one's already been appealed when Judge Gold removed his counsel, and they were summarily reinstated by the Supreme Court of Indiana.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, that was the big one. And so I think there's going to be some Sixth Amendment issues with everything that happened in terms of that. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, I wish somebody like Ms. Zellner, Kathleen Zellner, who's an amazing an attorney who really looks to seek and find facts. I wish somebody like that would take this on, or maybe even the True Innocence Project, not the L.A. Innocence Project that took on Scott Peterson, the real deal.
Yeah.
And I know agents that work for them that are amazing. I wish somebody would really take a hard look at this. It'll never sit right with me unless there's more evidence found.
This case is screaming for something like that to take place. There is just so much. It's been a long time since we've seen a case where somebody got put away, and it really doesn't feel right. And that means the killer, if we are right and Richard Allen is innocent, that means the killer is out there still. And in that community still, I don't know. Is it somebody that's kind of fly by night? I don't know. There's a lot of people that clearly should have been looked into. I'm still, my biggest thing in this whole case the whole time is the guy, Keegan Klein, obviously not guilty and not ever been charged with anything. But the fact, actually, I'm sorry, he has been. He's the one that's in prison, charged with a child porn. That's what I'm trying to say. And the fact that he had a plan to meet with one of the girls the day they were murdered, and yet somehow there's no connection there. I don't buy that. I feel like there has to be, that's way too close for comfort to say that's just a coincidence. If they found no evidence there, that's one thing. Then I don't think they were looking hard enough, quite honestly. It's like my kid going, oh yeah, I cleaned the kitchen, and you walk in and there's things everywhere. You can claim this, but in reality, I think it's a different thing.
Yeah. You know, Tony, there's that. There's Keegan Klein. I mean, I still think Ron Logan was their strongest subject. So did the FBI. I still don't understand. Well, I do understand. And I think this is what's going to be appealed, is the judge would not allow any evidence pointing in the direction of anybody but Richard Allen. So his defense had no defense.
Yeah.
They couldn't put up any of the information about Keegan Klein, any of the information about Ron Logan. You know, if they could have, I think this jury, and remember, they struggled in their deliberations. This wasn't a, you know, 4 hour and done. This was a long deliberation, and again, closed courtroom. Yeah. So the only thing we could rely on is what other people told us. And I would look at what different reporters said. You could compare three in a row on the same testimony, and they all said three things that were different. Because they're taking notes.
Yeah.
No one can take notes at that rapid of a pace. Each of them are going to draw what they thought was important. So none of us even really get to know what was said.
Yeah. I mean, the way that we were reporting on it, because we didn't have, we did have somebody in the courtroom, but at the same point, it doesn't matter. I mean, you have so many people out there that are taking different things. So we look at everybody's reporting and just kind of compile it all together and go, here's the general idea of what we think happened in the courtroom today based on what everybody is telling us. I hope if there's a round two to this, there's some transparency and we get a different judge and we get just a different everything in this. So I'm not saying he's not guilty, but I'm saying we need to try this in a fair way, and it does not feel like that was accomplished. Where do you think the family's at with all of this right now? Obviously, they got some answer, or they got, you know, a verdict. Do you think they're happy with it, I guess is the question.
You know, I think these families have been through so much. It's been over 7 years, and I think they just, you know, wanted a decision. Mm-hmm. And they got a decision, and I think that they are happy with it. Because they have to be. They have to, you know, they were in the courtroom. By the way, they were in the courtroom making, you know, biscuits or breakfast or muffins or something, you know, homemade things. They brought seats for people to sit on because the wood benches were hurting people. This is just people in the gallery. These people are nice, considerate people, and they've been through absolute hell. Yep. And I think for them, they trust, you know, the verdict and what was said. And I think they just want to put it to bed. At least that's what we know. Mm-hmm. If they've had any other discussions, we just don't know about them.
And that would be a very difficult place to be in. I cannot, you know, pass any sort of judgment on that. That would just be, you know, you're wanting to put this to bed. You're wanting that system to have done their job efficiently so you can firmly say, okay, you know, it doesn't heal the wound of your child being gone, but you hope it maybe closed that chapter and answered some questions. It's just, I get how the mind would go there and go, I'm not going to ask anymore. I'm going to believe that they did the right thing and kind of just, you know, put the blinders on and go forward. But I think I would, I mean, obviously on the outside here, I still want to know who actually did this crime, because then that means they're still out there. And I'm going to guess it's probably someone in plain sight, someone that, you know, knows these kids or knows, you know, the general, you know, population of the kids in the area. I'm guessing it has something to do with a predator. I mean, like a sexual predator of some sort. That's why I keep going back to the Keegan Klein, the Ron Logan and all that. It's just, it's such an injustice for the family. I feel with my view and your view on his guilt or not.
Yeah. You know, like you said, I can't think of another case. Well, I can think of another case, and that's Dossie, the case of that actually Kathleen Zellner is handling the appeal on. That's another case that will just never sit right in my stomach. And when I look at this one, I just have that same feeling. I'm not saying he's not guilty. What I'm saying is they didn't prove it, and it wasn't a fair ball field for the defense. That's all I'm saying.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
All right, true crime addicts, let's cut the crap. You're knee-deep in the gory details of your favorite podcast when suddenly a commercial hits like a bad meal. Seriously? You deserve better. Upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, where you can binge without those annoying ads. Plus, get extended interviews that go deeper into the darkness and early access to episodes so you can be the first to know. It's like trading up from fast food to fine dining, but with more blood. So, go ahead, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and feast on the good stuff.